WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Captain speaking.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
There may be skullduggery ahead.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
You filthy criminals.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
What the devil are they doing?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Loose to plague us with his criminal conundrums.
The Omega.
Divilish cloud prince of crime. Well, if I only had a nickel for every time he baffled us.
Heartbreak Mike.
You were taken in by her, but I'm too young for that sort of thing.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Behind our mask, we're perfectly ordinary people.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, Batman's my soul delight, my joy, my heaven on earth.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
We haven't one moment to lose.
WTR Sunday Night.
Things like that only happen in the movies.
Some days you're the only thing I know. Only thing that's burning when the nights grow cold. Can't look away, can't look away. Beg you to stay, beg you to stay, yeah. Sometimes you're a stranger in my bed. Don't know if you love me or you want me dead.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our Survivor Series recap episode. So, who's ready to not be able to follow a match? This is the theme tonight is where the hell did they go? Are they still in the match? Who's legal? Today, this was a test of focus. I failed. But we're going to see how everyone else did, and that's the important thing. So, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
What's going on, everybody? Heartbreak Mike here. I hope you guys really enjoyed NXT TakeOver War Game, because we're going to talk about...
You can hear the Rack Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver War Games, now available at RackRadioShow.com. Myself, Omega, Lindsay, and the intern talked all about it last night live right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Ew, crap. We gotta talk about Survivor Series.
This was a hell of a show. I don't know why you're down on it. It was a hell of a show.
No. Okay. We'll talk about this. Let's just go ahead with the introductions. Yeah,
like I said, we're gonna discuss it. Different opinions are not a bad thing. So, we'll also hear from the one and only Tim Stein.
It's where we have to act all Canadian and go, oh, he forgot to unplug, oh, under his mic.
You're over.
There we go, now he's talking.
You're talking over me while I unmute, shame on you.
Yeah, because you sat there and not unmuted, that's the thing.
I'm having slight computer issues, things are moving a little bit slowly at the moment. So, good evening everybody, welcome to a Survivor Series edition of WTR Sunday Night. Listen, if you're not busy, have a nosh.
So, let's see, Mike did his Uber radio voice, Tim is doing his old lady voice, I mean, Omega, you got any weird voices?
Should I? I didn't know it was...
I mean, I think that's a requirement now.
Is it a requirement?
Not really. It's really not a requirement.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm feeling a bit verklempt.
Okay, let's just go ahead and start things off.
Ancient references, please.
Absolutely.
More of them. Please date yourself.
Hey, I'm blaming Rock for the ancient references. He opened the show with the Batman theme tonight from 1966!
And your point is what?
Old references. So we're tonight playing the part of Michael Cole. So there it is. That's in the books. That happened. It was a thing. And oh my God, if you weren't paying attention, you're in trouble. Omega, we're in trouble.
What? What?
Survivor Series.
I paid attention.
You're still in trouble.
Why? I did nothing.
It's got nothing. It's not that kind of trouble.
Oh.
Let me rephrase. We got trouble.
Oh, that. Okay.
We got trouble by the short hairs. That's what we got.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait. EC3 wasn't on the show.
What was not on the show?
EC3, Trouble.
Yeah, but Shortage, he was.
Aww.
He was on the show.
He was on the show.
By the way, do you all know what a Spanish fly is?
It depends on your definition, what context you're using. However, it's a...
In professional wrestling.
Oh, okay, no, because I was going to say something else. Because it's an aphrodisiac, which happens to be a placebo.
No, in professional wrestling, do you know what a Spanish fly is?
Spanish fly is also called a C4.
Do you know?
It's basically a backflip rock bottom from the top rope.
Yeah, please tell Byron Saxton and what's his bucket 8 in English, what the name of the goddamn move is that it took 2.5 minutes to get to naming what the goddamn move is because someone in their ear told them what the move is 2.5 minutes later.
They don't get paid enough.
Byron was like, oh my, what a move.
Oh my, Spanish fly.
And it was a double Spanish fly and nothing. It was like, oh my, silence. Like, just say the name of the goddamn move. It's a wrestling move that they do 100 times a week now.
And if you forget the name of the goddamn move, you improvise. This is allowable because you'll eventually remember the name of the goddamn thing.
Took 2 minutes to name the move. It's like, singer, someone, anyone, say the name of the move. That's my biggest complaint of the show.
Yeah, so hey, everybody, before we actually get into it and not talk about the pre-show, because none of us saw it except for Rock, because everybody else was doing other shit. For example, I was working. I just want to mention that the Wild Talk Radio Network can now be found on Spotify.
Yeah, if you search, Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes in Spotify, you get it.
Yeah, just you don't even have to do it on iTunes. Just Wild Talk Radio Network.
Okay, so it updated. Okay, because at first it was with the iTunes.
The first time I searched for it after you and I discussed this, on when was that? Wednesday?
Sure.
I think it was Wednesday. Anyway, I'm listening to a podcast called Don Cherry's Grapevine, hosted by Don Cherry, of course.
I mean, that's the only thing he can do now.
After he got fired for saying you people. It wasn't racist, for crying out loud.
You people. I mean, that's a thing they say in wrestling every single day.
Yeah, anyway, that's just the way Don Cherry's been talking for all of his life. And he was talking to everybody watching him. You people watching me. That's what he meant. That's what he always said. Anyway, I was listening to Don Cherry's Grapevine and I thought, well, is it any kind of a big deal to get on there? Because Don Cherry's a bit of a big name in Canada. And I'm sure the guy's making money doing this podcast somehow. So I sent you a text message saying, hey, should we look into Spotify? You said, I'll take a look at it. 15 minutes later, every single podcast from June up until the Raw Post Show from last Monday was up on Spotify. Mm-hmm.
The last 100 episodes are available on the Spotify feeds, whether it's for CB Radio, whether it's for The Rack, or whether it's for Wild Talk Radio in general.
Every single Wild Talk Radio Network webcast that gets archived is up there. The Rack Radio Show extras that you do with Lindsay are all up there.
Yeah, everything. Everything's available.
All 5 Wrestle Talk Radio programming webcasts that we did since July.
They're there. So it's SummerSlam. It's a preview of a show. It's a fantasy draft. So all of them are available on Spotify.
Yeah. So if you got Spotify, kick over to podcast, search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and then just add us as your favorites. And that's just yet one more outlet for the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go.
I have fallen in like with Spotify since I broke down and downloaded it onto my phone.
Yeah. Jesus.
So I need to ask you something, Tim.
Okay.
Say this phrase 3 times fast. Cross-branded over-the-top rope battle royal.
No. Cross-branded over-the-top battle royal.
Close.
What did I miss?
Rope.
Cross-branded over-the-top rope battle royal. Cross-branded over-the-top rope battle royal. Cross-branded Over the Top Battle Royal.
That's how your pre-show started. The OC, The Revival, The Forgotten Sons, Rudin Ziegler, The Street Profits, Ryder and Hawkins, Breezango, Lucha House Party, Imperium, and Heavy Machinery.
Wait a minute. Why did I have to say it three times?
Because, why not?
Because there were three brands? Yeah, let's go with that.
No, because I was just making fun of that. It's really over-the-top worded. That doesn't need to be worded. Because it's called a Battle Royal.
Gary Gar was cute back in the day. Anyway.
Anyway. Anyway. The battle for brand supremacy is on the line in this Battle Royal, which saw Rude and Ziegler eliminate the Street Profits at the end to put up SmackDown up one for the night. You had the Cruiserweight title, Leo Rush, Tozawa, and Kalisto. In your, you know, second match for brand supremacy, with NXT getting the win with Leo Rush retaining his Cruiserweight title. And then you had the Viking Raiders, New Day, and Undisputed Era, battling it out with the Viking Raiders, giving Raw their one win. That's your pre-show. Thoughts from anyone who may have seen it?
Yeah. sort of like a spoiler alert there.
Okay, so no one wants to comment. Cool. You guys talk about the main show.
I would comment if I could.
Then start talking about the main show.
The main show kicked off with stuff happening. Again, I'm suffering a couple of problems here. So where were we?
The Women's Survivor Series Elimination.
There it is. There
Raw
it is.
Yeah. Versus SmackDown versus
my
NXT.
My notepad didn't want to work. So the Survivor Series Triple Threat Elimination Match. Wow. That was a lot of people in a ring.
Yeah, 15 of them, as it turns out.
Yeah. We had a grand total of, let's see, Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross. And then they were facing Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae, and Io Shirai. And they were facing Charlotte Flair, Sarah Logan, Natalya, and the WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, Asuka and Kairi Sane. A lot of people, a lot of hard time following for people not paying 100% attention to this match, but it was good.
I mean, yeah, it's a solid match. It's just, this is a, you know, it's just, it can be a little bit hard to follow a triple threat sometimes as it is, trying to keep track of where the third person is in the match. And now we've got 12 others to keep track of.
Yeah, 15 total, like you were saying to begin with. They did, do an injury spot. Now, of course, it was a work. Chatting with Rocky, he says, that's not a legit injury. And he goes, no, in great big capital letters. And I'm like, if you thought it was, then they got you. It was just a way of getting rid of two of them without causing any, you know, like offering up any, eliminations.
I mean, it was well done the way everyone responded to it and everything just kind of stopped while they were checking on him. Even the announcers were kind of hesitant to really go into detail. So fair enough. It's not as obvious as some of them are.
Yeah, this is truth. Mike, you saw this match, right?
I did. I liked it.
Cause you know, this is where you get to weigh in.
No. I do, but I'm a huge Rhea Ripley fan and I'm also a huge Candice fan, but for this, I do understand, of course, War Games and all of that, but you didn't have to make it to that point of, oh, it's going to look weak. Hey, they're quote unquote injured. Let's put them in the back. Now they come out, no selling the injury and stuff. Of course, it's all a story and what have you. But my whole thing is NXT this is the first ever women's, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first ever tri-brand women's Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And
technically it's the first tri-brand for all of the matches.
Touche, because we're not counting the Alliance versus the, yeah. And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad they finished it. My whole thing is I really think that with Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, I really think they could have did that differently. That's just my thing. Excuse me. That's all.
Yeah, it was a way of building up some tension and pulling a last minute swerve of, oh wait, there's still two. They didn't get eliminated. They're back in the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've seen stuff like that happen with over-the-top battle royals, and they pulled it out on a few different Royal Rumbles and other such things. So it's effective if and when it's done correctly and not overdone. And this is something that one of the very few things I think WWE has yet to overdo. Everything else they've done to death, it seems like.
But I will say, well done, WWE, for giving Lacey the win.
Giving who the win?
Lacey Evans. The win over Charlotte. Very well played.
Okay, Lacey got the pinfall over Charlotte. She didn't get the win.
The pinfall, but-
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Well played. They finally gave Lacey something to do besides, you know, Crown Jewel, but that was, I think that was something, that was a good thing for Lacey. Small things.
Small things, yeah. I don't know, I just get the feeling that they're still trying to do something they shouldn't with Lacey Evans, and that's, you know, push her.
No, you listen to the crowd, like, they really didn't give a crap about Lacey when she came in there for that hit.
Yep.
They were still chanting for Asuka. Asuka's the heel, but it's just we're so sick of Charlotte.
Do you realize where we are?
Oh, I know. It's the wrestling city.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Still, Asuka's supposed to be firmly heel. Charlotte's kind of tweener, and it's still hysterical to me that it got such a big pop to Mister in the face.
We can't say Charlotte's a tweener. Charlotte's a flair. They have their own alignment.
That's actually a fair point.
Actually, yeah. You know what? In this case, coming from Mike, that is valid. Sorry, Mike.
Nah.
I can be a dick sometimes. Anyway, yeah. No, it really, getting back to it, good match. Yeah, at times these things, like you say, Omega, they can get a little bit involved as far as following. In a situation like that, I don't have complaints about it. I mean, there are matches I have complaints about that are hard to follow when they shouldn't be because they're overbooked and they're ridiculous. But tonight, you know, overall, it just did not smack of overbooking. It seemed like everything was kept simple and easy to follow. And I tell you, is there anybody more in love with his brand than the play-by-play commentator for NXT?
I mean, Mauro, because he blew his voice out, apparently, calling it last night.
I was about to say, aside from Mauro, yeah, and absolutely enjoyed NXT TakeOver War Games, by the way. Yeah, I did watch it. Well, most of it.
Amazing.
Oh, that main event was off the hook, and boy, did the roof explode off the top of the arena when Owen showed up.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I mean, so since you actually saw the event, how, and we're on this particular match, how impressive is Rhea Ripley?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Like she's the next big thing in the women's division, period. It doesn't matter what brand you want to say. I mean, she is just amazing. The girl, she's got the height. She's got the size. She's got the speed. She has the talent. She's you know, whatever it is, she's got it.
Yeah.
All wrapped up in one sweet little pack. Well,
yeah.
Little package. And, no, I'm just digging her every time I see her more. You know, the more I see Rhea, it's like, wow. Give me more. Shut up and take my money, honey. And I'm sorry that just, unintentionally sort of, implied something that I didn't mean for it to, and I won't expand.
But it was a good match.
Yeah. Like I'm super impressed. I'll say it again. I'll be super impressed with a lot of the NXT who are pulling double duty. Especially if you went through a War Games match last night and then you came to participate in a Survivor Series match, like you are a trooper. You are an ace team player.
One hell of a trooper because he, it's War Games. So first off, you can't complain about it to begin with. Secondly, if you've ever seen War Games from any brand that has ever held War Games, you know that this is one of the one of the specialty shows that, that all the performers pull out all the stops. They don't hold back for a damn thing. And I'm telling you, watching the replay of the finish of that main event last night, I'm just thinking, oh my God, there's no way he's going to live through that. Never mind get out without a separated shoulder the way he landed through those tables.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, yeah.
Oh, guess what? We get to talk about him here in a bit.
It's coming up. Yep. So, yeah. So the winners of the, triple threat, elimination match, Team NXT, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, and, Candice LeRae. Yeah. Up next, was the triple threat match, title versus title versus title, the mid-cards. Shinsuke Nakamura versus North American champion Roderick Strong versus U.S. champion AJ Styles. And here it is. It's AJ versus Shinsuke, and the only good matches we've ever seen from those guys came out of New Japan.
AJ's balls were at least untouched tonight.
Yeah. Can't say that for Brock, but we'll get there. Anyway. This was a good match, and I don't know. The addition of Roderick Strong brought a little extra out of Shinsuke, because I'm not telling tales out of school here, and I'm not letting you know anything you didn't know previously. I've been disappointed with his WWE run in its entirety. Tonight, I was really impressed with his work in the ring. Is it because he had two other people and didn't have to work, you know, work as hard? Or did Roddy Strong bring something out in him for the WWE crowd? What do you think, guys?
Roderick Strong, anything that, and okay, Roderick Strong knows AJ Styles to a T. And for these three to go at it, Roderick Strong really showed out because he got a chance to shine. I don't want to say on the main card because he's been on the main shows, but if, correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of the main show pay-per-views, the first ever one that he's been in. I don't think he's been in Royal Rumble. So with this, he got a chance to literally let people know who he is, Roderick Strong, with the backbreakers and the sick kicks and anything else. Anybody who knows Roderick Strong pre-WWE, pre-NXT, they know what he's capable of. So, but for a new fan of WWE, you know, new fan of Roderick Strong, yeah, it's going to be, you know, impressive because wow, this guy is awesome, you know, because they're going to be like, we've never seen this type of offense before. This is great. And to be perfectly honest, I am glad that he got the win. I am just the way that I thought he was going to win.
Yeah. I'm not complaining about the outcome of it at all. Omega, your take.
I do want to agree. I mean, this was a good opportunity for Roderick to prove what he could do. He definitely did that. And no. Yeah, Shinsuke was, I don't know what it is about his one-on-ones with AJ in the WWE where he seems like he's just going half speed, but at the very least he seemed to pull out a little bit more tonight.
Well, I'm just thinking that maybe it's, you know, being retrained in the WWE style of professional wrestling, because he was used, you know, in New Japan. Strong style wrestling over there, right? WWE doesn't really, they're not big on strong style.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's too much of a risk.
Yeah. Now, how many people listening, to our webcasts and how many people, who are the hardcores that pay attention, on the internet to begin with don't know what strong style is?
I don't know, like, you could probably find a lot who don't know.
No.
It is just not something you see outside of Japan, maybe the UK from time to time.
Yeah, strong style wrestling is a very, very, very popular thing out here, whenever you run indie shows in Alberta. And, I'm not trying to say, oh, our wrestling's better than everybody else, blah, 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 blah. But it is. Anyway, But, like, I grew up watching Strong Style. That's Stampede Wrestling, old school, Strong Style. That's probably one of the best ways of putting it, Strong Style. It's not old school, but it incorporates a shit ton of old school. Does that make sense?
Now, is it old school, or did it just never, or did it just evolve differently to not forget where it came from?
You know what? That's, when you put it that way, making me think about it, that's a great way of explaining it. It's the evolution of old school. Back when wrestling was still real, damn it. But yeah, and this is one of the complaints I have about the bigger promotions like WWE. It's a little too bubblegum. Compared to what I'm used to going through. Bret Hart, one of the best technical wrestlers who ever made a name for himself in WWF at the time. He was basically schooled in strong style. It's one of the reasons why I'm a Bret Hart fan. I was never huge on the lucha style. And of course when you back in the Attitude Era days, the pre-Attitude Era, when you had Bret feuding with Shawn, Shawn was initially trained lucha style, right? When you get Bret and Shawn in the ring, they always put on a fantastic show because it was a great contrast. And I think Bret brought out the best of Shawn and vice versa. Right? Yeah. And that feud pretty much, that coupled with DX pretty much, made Shawn Michaels the star he was. But, yeah, no, I love your description, Omega.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah, Roderick Strong gets a win on this one, and entertaining, as we were saying. Guess what we get to talk about now, Omega?
Ooh. The latest Pokemon game.
No, that's later.
Okay.
That's when we do Okapuho Chuku Live or whatever you called it back then. What did you call it? I remember.
Yeah.
Can I say it?
No.
I don't want to piss you off, you know, I'll just go, never mind. I won't do it. Anyway, we're talking about the NXT title match. Pete Dunne, who, wins at, War Games, the opportunity to fight for the NXT title, taking on the defending champion, Adam Cole. Wow.
Yeah.
If you had one word, mine's wow. What's yours?
Well, I mine is not wow. Mine would be yep, because that's exactly what I expect of those two.
Like
loins.
Because
No. The reason why I say that is because after Adam Cole going through all of that in War Games alone, them loins hurt. I'm sorry. When you take a table spot of that high altitude, yeah. I get it. You know, Adam Cole is crazy, but yes.
Like Adam Cole's had a busy as hell week to end it off with those two matches.
Yeah. Hats off to him. And him and Pete Dunne, the finish alone. Oh, what's
never mind the finish. The false finish is leading up to the finish.
I mean, yes, but the way that it ended. Yes, all the false finishes, all of them. Oh, especially that Panama Sunrise from outside.
Oh God, the Panama Sunrise on the apron.
That looks like the reverse Canadian destroyer.
It is a Canadian destroyer.
I know right. It is. I was.
but
to be able to pull it off when you have so little room.
Yeah,
that's incredible. That really is, because that is not one of those moves that you can normally do in a phone booth.
No,
like a DDT.
Yeah, like. The Panama Sunrise Canadian Destroyer type setup, or anything with the sunset flip or things of such, you have to really time that precisely. Like Mega said, it's not a DDT, not a RKO, no regular scoop slam or anything like that. This is a tuck your head or you're going to die type thing. I'm just grateful.
It's one of those wrestling moves that is legitimately dangerous.
Yeah. Like, tuck your head.
You got three types of moves. Moves that look dangerous, but they're not You got a move that doesn't look like anything, but it's dangerous as hell. Then you got a move that looks like shit and doesn't do sweet bugger all.
Mm-hmm.
This one is one of those that looks dangerous, and it is.
Yeah. So, yes, definitely my hat's off to those two gentlemen for not only being ring aware, but being able to adapt and pull it off.
I love this match. I really did.
By the way, Pete Dunne took two of those damn things.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Kudos to Pete Dunne.
I hate to say it. I mean, I do match of the night.
Well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there because
I know. I mean,
I worked with you guys on this. We did our prediction on match of the night last week. Here it is. It's the third brand championship title match. You get all of these people who don't watch NXT get a chance to see what these guys are doing. I know we've got triple threats and NXT involved in almost every single match on this card tonight. People are getting a really good taste of it. But this match alone was enough to sell the casual viewer on catching NXT if they never watched it before. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, of course, Adam Cole amazingly retains, and this is what I was saying, War Games last night. Ciampa takes him to the top of the cage in the corner after setting up two of the tables at Cole. He grabbed, a grand total of five or six tables last night, Omega?
I lost count. It was a lot.
It was. I lost count at five. I think it was...
Seven. Seven,
was
eight.
Was it seven?
Seven or eight, yes.
Unbelievable, man. Incredible. But yeah, Adam Cole, throwing all of those, tables except for one into the, cage surrounding the, two rings. He set one of them up, right up on the railing, and it looked like, a very dangerous place to put. The chairs are really close to the guardrails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, when he finally went through the table, I'm watching. And of course, yeah, okay, it's spot and having book shows and stuff like that. I know how the spot goes and stuff like that. I'm watching the guy in the crowd behind the tables because he put the legs of the table on the other side of the barrier to prop it up. And sure enough, the fan got clipped. I don't know if he caught that or not, but he got clipped.
Mm.
Yep. Immediately after showing Cole through the table, they cut the camera away, and you could just catch it in your periphery. You had security and event staff running over to check on the fan. There were no reports or anything, so I'm sure he's okay, but that's just a scary move. That's a dangerous move.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, two of the tables set up in the corner of the ring. Ciampa takes Cole up to the top of the cage. And what was the name of that move? I can't remember it right now. What the
air raid crash.
The air raid crash.
Mm-hmm.
Basically folding him up, it almost looks like a muscle buster, but instead of being on your shoulder, he's in front of you.
Oh, it looks like it looks like the Celtic Cross.
Yeah. And he jumps off the top. And yeah, he's got his arm tucked underneath Adam's neck to protect his neck and head, which is, you know, what you do when you're pulling moves like that. You do your best to protect your opponent. But going through that table, he landed pretty harshly shoulder first last night. And watching that, I was just amazed that he did not dislocate his shoulder. And then to come back tonight and retain the title. Just absolutely amazing. Think what you want about Adam Cole, the character. And the faction as a group. Think what you want. Just remember their characters. These are real people. You've gotta give them props for doing what they do. And, you know, absolute respect going out to Adam Cole last night and tonight.
But I'd like to go through. It was a grueling match last night, and then to put on a match of the night at Survivor Series. That's that's an all-star weekend.
It's and then some. Absolutely. Yeah, so Adam Cole winning. And I think NXT is going to win too, because I'm pretty sure that they'll pick up a bunch more subscribers and viewers just based on this match alone. So all good. A lot of fun. Up next, the WWE Universal title match. Daniel Bryan taking on The Fiend. Don't call him Bray Wyatt. He's The Fiend when he's in that ring and then he's got that mask on. I've decided, Omega, Mike, I'm tired of the red lights.
Oh, I was tired of them when we first saw them.
Yeah.
The first time, okay, fine. But making it a constant thing, no, stop doing that. I mean, if you want to have the red lights, fine, but throw some white light in with the red so, you know, it's not so horrible.
It's the lighting, if I was going to, like, red lights, cool. We have an Inferno match?
Yeah.
I guess not. You know, good for his entrance, but that's about it. It's like the last time we've seen the ring of this different type of color was anything of a Sin Cara match. And look how that went.
Well, Sin Cara was golden light, and that's okay. That's not as harsh as the red lighting.
No. Like for the entrance.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one of my main problems with the red lighting, it's the, imagine watching a Punjabi prison match from the nosebleeds.
Mm.
That's the problem I have with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's too harsh. It washes out.
Yeah.
Like considering like for the entrance, the red light's fine, but you know, when the Fiend comes out, the power goes out, right? It like slowly goes out, like the power's failing in the arena. Like, if you want that horror movie atmosphere, what you do is you drop the red lights and try to bring up the house lights, but they don't come on all the way, so it's a little dim. And then you just put a little flicker every now and then in the lights, like they're trying to come back on.
Bingo. This is sort of, what I was thinking, kind of. The idea is great. You wanna sell it as he's menacing and when you're in the ring with the Fiends, you've stepped into 20 square feet of hell. Yeah, I get it, the whole bit and everything, but come on. But getting to the match itself, Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt, this is not the first time we've seen these two guys fighting each other, having a match against each other. They told a good story.
They
this
did.
Match did tell a really good story. Go ahead, Mike.
No, they did. And they managed to get, you know, they managed to get Daniel Bryan back. Like, it was great to see him to do back to what he was. Like, this whole entire thing, he was like, no, I'm not doing the yes chance. I'm not doing all of it. And then now it's like, if this is the way I have to beat him, then
he's
so.
He's reluctantly channeling his past incarnation.
Yes. apparently he has the mental stability to do it, but you know, all in all, it didn't work out. It was great. It told the story of, I'm going to beat you, haha, no you're not. I'm gonna do everything I can, haha, no you're not.
Oh, I'm slowly gaining confidence. So
yeah,
what?
Haha, so what? No sell. We don't sell shit here.
And aside from that red goddamn light, Omega, it was better and better received than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After that fiasco with the storyline with Seth Rollins, the worried that they were going to totally 100% screw it up, but they've salvaged it a bit.
Yeah, they're rebuilding it.
They're redeeming themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, thankfully they figured out this time. It was like, oh, we're about to screw up Bray Wyatt again. Backtrack. Actually make him scary again.
Yeah.
It's like ever since that last match with Rollins, they've actually been a little bit more on point with him. So.
Which is good to see. Maybe they're smartening up and, you know, they listen to the fans, this time out for this. Cause it's not just us bitching about it. But, yeah. Anyway, is it a surprise the Fiend retains?
No.
Yeah.
No, now, it's not a surprise.
Here's my question. Sticking with this whole thing with Bray Wyatt's Fiend character gimmick when he wrestles. Eventually, yeah, he's going to drop the title just because that's the nature of the beast. There's no such thing as a 12-year title run anymore. It hasn't been since the days of Bruno or Big Bad Don Morocco. How, once you finally get the Fiend to where you should have gotten him previously when you debuted him in the ring, and once he's up at that top, how do you get the title off of him?
Short of dropping a nuclear bomb on him.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other superhuman one in the entire roster is Braun Strowman, and you have to reestablish that aspect of him too, because he's taken too many losses. He's starting the big show on us.
Yep. Now, I was almost sort of in the back of my head doing bad WWE booking as a satire watching this pay-per-view, because I knew Brock was going to win. Not to give you any spoilers, guys, but just for the sake of argument, let's say Brock loses the title at some point in time. And he winds up facing the Fiend for the Fiend's title to become Universal Champion yet once again.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way Brock is able to get any headway with the Fiend and actually win is he at one point in the match somehow is able to remove the mask and expose Bray Wyatt, and the Fiend is the mask. That's where all of Bray Wyatt's inhuman abilities and power and able to take a kicking and keep on ticking comes from, is his mask.
Mm-hmm.
And the, never mind Brock Lesnar, anybody that they put up against Bray when it's time for him to drop the title. Ultimately, Bray loses his mask, and that's how he's defeated.
Mm.
I just want your feedback on that one, Omega.
It feels like there is a
80s.
Yeah, I mean, there is a psychological identity behind the mask, the same way Finn coming out as the demon is a different psychological identity. It's just far more separate.
Yep. Split personalities.
You know, yeah. Like, it's almost, yeah, it's almost just a matter of, like, not even superhuman, just the mask hides who he really is, and when he is himself, he knows he can't do those things.
Yep.
You know, it's a psychological wall. Get that. Yep. Yeah, you could definitely paint it that way. And yeah, like short of somebody being able to bring the lighting rig down on his head,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pull something like that to actually to make it convincing that he could actually lose.
But in order for that to work, you have to find a writer who's bang on point and knows what the hell he's doing. Right. I don't know if you watch TV series Prodigal Son. But the type of writing that's in that TV show, very cerebral, but at the same time, it can't be so cerebral that you lose the majority of the viewers. It has to be believable, and it has to be a whole, like we were talking about, a whole psychological thing with the split personalities, the dual personas, and the whole bit. Mike, what do you think of this idea?
I'm not against it.
If it's done right, right?
That's the big if. And knowing WWE, it ain't gonna be done right.
They gonna fuck it up. But It's just, I could just see that being the way. But you can't do it immediately, and it can't be in all in one match. You have to build up to it. He has to have matches where somebody pulls a mask off him, and all of a sudden Bray freaks out, and he becomes the, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse happy-go-lucky fun guy who winds up not able to wrestle because he's covering his face, and sell it like it's like he's lost his soul. And the mask is his soul and all this other stuff. And I don't know, it just might be a little bit too complicated for a three show match or series for professional wrestling. But I could see that going that way. Well, anyway. That was just something I wanted to talk about real quick. Up next, we got the Men's Survivor Series Triple Threat Elimination Match. Team Raw, which is Captain Seth Rollins, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton, taking on Team SmackDown, consisting of Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin, Shorty G, Mustafa Ali, and Braun Strowman, versus Team NXT, Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Damian Priest, and Walter. Walter, first one eliminated?
That's bullshit. That is booked by someone who has not seen a bit of his character or his persona or who's never watched NXT UK.
Thank you for saying that. I was hoping that you would say that.
So Vince booked this. Sweet.
And it really is the only explanation, because when you think the first one eliminated, you think, oh, well, the first one who's obviously the weakest link or the most unknown, they immediately, you know, so someone decided that was Walter. And then when they heard everyone chanting for Walter, probably regretted the decision.
Yeah.
Because the crowd was pissed.
I was pissed. I was pissed. When that happened, I'm like, no. Are you kidding? You guys are idiots.
I was so upset. Like, ugh.
Oh well, what can you do? In all, everybody had a chance to shine in this match, really. Not just each team, but each member of the team.
Keith Lee and Braun Strowman. Oh, my God.
Are you bug-eyed over the, encounter at ringside?
That too.
There you go.
That too, but considering the fact it was, the potential stuff that we saw in Survivor Series, I'm a firm believer that when you see certain matches in Survivor Series, they're pretty much foreshadows of what may happen in the future in the next 2 to 3 years. We saw Walter versus Braun Strowman. We saw Walter versus Drew McIntyre. I was about to say Drew Galloway. We saw Keith Lee versus Braun. I'm sorry. When you see powerhouses doing things of that magnitude.
Things.
Yes, powerhouse things, and they can literally do magnificent things. It, to me, with Survivor Series, that should be the time where bookers should be like, yo, let's book this. Or, what would happen if, like, that's just me. Keith, and I'm a huge Keith Lee fan.
Never would have guessed.
Quote unquote, dad. Like, those, the crossbodies, the double crossbodies, and he moves. Not to mention, like I keep saying, big ups to the ones that were in the War Games match and still managed to come to Survivor Series.
Oh yeah. Like, if you saw Keith Lee in War Games and then saw him in Survivor Series, there's no way you're not a Keith Lee fan right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And what made me so happy was he eliminated Seth Rollins.
Yeah, they gave him a big elimination. They gave him a big, it was big just letting him make it to the final, the finish of the match.
And I love the fact that he calls that the spirit bomb.
Yes.
Most impressive.
We saw Ciampa, I'm sorry, we saw Ciampa versus Orton.
Oh, Ciampa and Orton staring down made me realize how similar those two really are.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like this is a mirror right here.
Yes. I mean, I hate to say it, just like Bobby Roode and Triple H was, what was it, 2 years ago?
I mean, seriously. WWE did something that made me interested in Orton for a second.
That takes work.
A lot of work. Poor Matt Riddle, though.
Hey, he got an elimination.
He got an elimination with the...
And then he was destroyed immediately afterwards.
Randy Orton was like, and yeah. And then, of course, the power bomb, which,
wow.
Yeah, wasn't complete. But anyway, what really, you know, helped out a lot was after the match of that Survivor Series, Roman Reigns, Keith Lee. First of all, Keith Lee with that cell to the spear. That was great. And then after that, it was just a sign of respect. Fat boys can wrestle.
I'm having a hard time calling Keith Lee a fat boy.
The reason why...
He's big.
Right, but yeah. I say
he's
that
got,
because...
No, he's got the rain barrel built.
Right.
Yeah, but it's like a power lifter or a sumo wrestler. It's like they look fat, but there's so much just raw muscle underneath.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, then here's, okay. Well, then yes, you're right. And you know, it's a thing for me because hello, big guy, powerhouse.
Yes. No, you're a fat boy.
Not anymore.
This is Pick on Mike Minute brought to you by Spotify.
Cheap plug. Anyway, but it's really great to see, you know, Keith Lee survive the whole entire match and was still able to survive War Games. So.
Yeah, he was in the main event last night and, he wasn't exactly, he didn't exactly hold back last night, so.
No.
Uh-uh.
For a big guy, that's amazing stamina.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, wait, correct me if I'm wrong, but last night, and I don't mean to keep continuing about last night was a PWG ROH night.
Expand, go ahead.
In the whole entire War Games match, Future Shock, everybody from Future Shock, and Red Dragon, versus Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, never mind. Dijakovic was not, wait a minute. Nope. He was WWE bred, if I'm not mistaken, right? Omega, help. I'm about to say, Dijakovic wasn't he, he was in another.
I don't remember his, like, I don't remember where he came from if he's.
Oh well. But yeah, it was, and the big shocker of it all, you know, Kevin Owens. I was like, okay, so this is definitely Ring of Honor / PWG. But yeah, great match, great Survivor Series, 5-on-5. Yeah. SmackDown.
Of course, Roman Reigns getting the victory for Team SmackDown.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to say Corbin's good at his job, but God, he was insufferable through this match.
You said who?
Corbin is very good at being insufferable.
Yeah.
Which is a way of not saying he's good at his job, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they set up a feud beautifully and simply between Roman and Corbin coming up.
Yeah. Well, okay. One thing I can say about Baron Corbin, and Tim, I really think you can agree with me because this is a wrestling thing. It isn't the fact that he wrestles. He can work.
Well, here's the thing about Baron Corbin. The guy playing Baron Corbin is actually a really good worker.
Of course he is.
Problem is he saddled with being Baron Corbin in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never properly handled from his debut.
Yeah, we know. Poor thing.
And that's the problem. And the guy, no, the guy is seriously good. I mean, it's no bullshit that he's Golden Gloves boxing champion too. Right?
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's been very well trained. I don't want to take away from the wrestler, from the guy, but I just, it's the character.
Yeah.
And Omega, you nail it. He's really good at being insufferable.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Being an outright prick.
To the point where he's attacked by his only surviving teammate in the match tonight.
Yeah. He just let Ciampa pick up the pinfall on him.
Yep.
It's like, I'm sick of him too. Get him out of here.
Yep. Yeah, it was all a favor. But, you know, in this match tonight, we also got a chance to see 2/3 of, the Shield reunite temporarily at least.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know, okay, nostalgia purposes, you know, no harm, no foul. It had to have been expected that, Rollins and Reigns would work together a little bit during this match. And then have them, plug away against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no, like the whole thing was well done. Very well done. And, objectively speaking, all of the feuds that they have set up tonight for the near future, all of the setups were not complicated, they were not overdone, they were not overbooked. Roman Reigns, I've had enough of your bullshit, I'm taking you out. Ciampa, go ahead, pin him, do us all a favor.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
You know, there's the feud set up, right? Boom.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those things happened to the Women's Survivor Series, the men's, which is what we're talking about, but we're going to get to the main event because, something's incoming shortly and we'll, talk about that afterwards. But, I had no problems except I was expecting, I told Rock, I was practically expecting the crowd to turn on Roman Reigns again at the end of this with him winning just because of how hot NXT was all night long.
Oh yeah, they were chanting for Keith Lee through a lot of that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I did notice, every single match tonight, every time NXT wrestlers were getting the upper hand, the whole crowd is yay, and then when they're getting up, boo, yay, boo, I'm like, I'm getting a kick out of this. Crowd's into it.
Yeah, well, you are in Chicago, so you're in the wrestling town, so they're going to prefer the brand that puts on the most solid wrestling, and that is NXT.
Yeah,
and you are coming off of an insane War Games event that a lot of people in that crowd also went to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love a hot crowd that's into the show because it just adds to the show. It really does. A hot crowd can make a good show really good, a great show off the hook, and a middling show, like a so-so show, can come off as good when you've got a hot crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically, literally, what we saw happen tonight. So, thank you very much, Chicago, by the way, for being so into it. And wow, were we ever flooded with CM Punk chants tonight, Omega?
You think? It's Chicago and he's on FS1 every week now.
Just fan.
I just having fun, so. Yeah, so, now we get down to, the Brock Lesnar match, which was a thing. Brock Lesnar taking on Rey Mysterio in no holds barred, no DQ match for the WWE title. It was a thing, Mike.
No, it was a thing. The sad part was, it was a believable thing.
I mean, yes. Cause Rey Mysterio is the size of Brock Lesnar's lunch.
Yes. And they did it with logic, of course, a couple of low blows, you know, boom, boom. But what kind of gave a good feel for it? His son Dominic. Well, his son Dominic.
And Dominic pulled off a couple of good moves. That was fine.
First of all, he did
pulled off his real dad's move.
Jesus. And he did it great. Not gonna lie. That was a really good frog splash.
Well, here's the thing. Dominic showed that he's being trained really well, but he still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, I think the behind the scenes is that, yeah, he's absolutely, still very new to all of this.
Yeah. He was looking like a 6-month trainee in an 18-month course. Which is kind of sort of what, where he is. So.
Yeah. Well, Dominic's, well, for those who don't know, he's been training under Lance Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course you're going to get that good wrestling in. So, we're just going to see how this is going to go.
Yeah, Lance doesn't graduate yet until he's 100% satisfied with your work rate.
Yeah.
Lance believes in training you to work safe first and foremost, and then he teaches you how to make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell Dominic has been trained to work safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the looking good hasn't quite kicked in yet.
Still right. New.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching the frog splash, and here's his real dad's move. Yeah, that was cute. Whereas, you know, Eddie would land full on his abdomen right onto his opponent's arms. Dominic kind of sort of landed his forearms onto Brock's chest with that frog splash. He was really timid with his landing.
Would you risk hurting Brock?
That's...
Think of the receipt you will get afterwards.
That's not it, hurting Brock. First off, Dominic couldn't hurt Brock. If he actually fell on top of him full on, Dominic still couldn't hurt Brock. It goes back to what I was saying about how Lance Storm trains his wrestlers.
I didn't say hurt. I said try to hurt.
Yeah. This is not a shot against Lance by any means. If anything, it's promoting Lance Storm's training methods, to tell you the truth. One of the things that I've always respected and appreciated about Storm Wrestling Academy, right, may it rest in peace, was that Lance would always teach you to work safe, and then he would teach you, and once you got the safety aspect down, then he would teach you to make it look good. And if you look at every single graduate of Storm Wrestling Academy currently in WWE or AEW, NXT, Impact, wrestling anywhere in the world, you'll be hard-pressed to find a safer worker from anywhere else.
Mm.
And when it comes to talking about the business, that is number one, period,
mm-hmm.
is being safe.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, this match, I wasn't really, I didn't care about one way or the other because, you know, it's a Brock Lesnar match, but I was disappointed in that it's a no DQ match. It's all built up. Ray's got the pipe after laying out Brock on Raw. You're expecting more of a beatdown. And yeah, there was a beatdown, but it was short and it should have been a case of Ray gets the upper hand like crazy thanks to the pipe and then the chairs and have Dominic come in and do the low blow, spot. No problem. That's all fine and dandy. Before Brock makes the comeback, there wasn't enough of Ray getting the upper hand.
Well, it was always going to end this short. It was always going to be a quick match.
Yeah.
The no DQ stipulation was to give you some idea that Ray might stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you call it a no DQ in favor of the underdog, you've got to make it look, you can't just say, oh, it's a no DQ. And you're like, oh, he's got a chance. No, no. Just, what? Because they say it's no DQ? No, show me something.
For me, but I'm just telling you, like, that's WWE logic. It's like,
yeah, no, I know.
Like,
I know. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just stating my point.
Yeah, that's but in their heads, they did show you that he was, oh, he got beaten up on Raw with a lead pipe.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, Ray's going to stand a chance at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. But, are you, like, in agreement with me, or are you defending WWE, or what?
I'm telling you that's how WWE goes. Like, I wish the match went longer. I wish Ray looked like a better contender here because it's Ray freaking Mysterio. I don't care if he is half the size of Brock Lesnar. You should be making him look good here.
He's supposed to be the biggest little man in the business. Well, make him look like the biggest man, little man in the business like he did before. So.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, Brock Lesnar retains, oh, whoop-de-freaking-do. Yeah, it's not like we didn't expect it, but, I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm good there.
Yeah, Mike?
Nah, I'm good. Let's go.
Well, then why don't we talk about the main event for the night, which is the women's titles triple threat match. Raw champ Becky Lynch taking on NXT champ Shayna Baszler taking on SmackDown Women's champ Bayley.
Hmm.
The build up, the pre-match video package.
Good video package?
Yes, I have to admit it was good. Go ahead,
but,
continue.
But the match itself it disappointed me.
Why did it disappoint you? What specifically caused you to feel disappointment?
Because it wasn't as Smash Mouth as I thought it was gonna be.
Okay.
Shayna Baszler, we know how Shayna Baszler rocks in NXT. Like she.
I was about to say, well, Shayna Baszler's involved, so you're expecting some real fighting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Shayna Baszler gives no fucks. We all know this. And Karen, I mean, Bayley, she's gonna be Bayley. And then Becky Lynch, it was like, you had the perfect setup. You had the perfect video package. You had the perfect build-ups. And then, oh god, I could see Vince talking about, alright, here's what's gonna happen. Don't give him everything. Just give him a little bit.
It's the main event and we're never doing this again.
Yeah.
We can't give him a little bit, Vince.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I don't know. Cause I've seen Bayley.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Bayley and Becky put on really good matches. So yep. I'm wondering if having to include Shayna just kept throwing things off.
Do you think Shayna would have been the dark? Do you think Shayna is a dark horse?
It's not as a dark horse. It's a third wheel thing.
Yeah.
Where like, I feel like one-on-one, any combination of these three would put on a solid match.
No.
There's just something about making it a three-way where I don't feel like the chemistry got off as well as it could have.
Well, okay. once we get through this whole thing, I'm going to revisit that phrase Dark Horse. Once I give you the reason why I felt a little bit, not disappointed, but, in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, we give Bailey a whole change of direction in character. We cut her hair, we give her new music, we let her murder the inflatable buddies.
Yeah. The whole build up to this was Bailey is getting overlooked because Shayna and Becky want a piece of each other. And Bailey's picked spots, but she ends up on her back every single time.
And not just that. Bailey runs into the ring and is immediately tossed back out through half the match. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
She gets her chance and she's looking pretty good against Shayna for a little while before Shayna gets the upper hand and throws her out. And every time Bailey climbs in, she gets tossed right back out again. Bailey was the third wheel tonight. After everything they've been doing to change her character, they did make Bailey a third wheel. But I have a theory.
You have a theory why they completely disregarded her and went against traditional booking where she should have pulled out a win here after being ignored.
Yeah, kind of. And you can thank our producer, Rock, for mentioning it before I had a chance to. Because we were talking about this match. If Bailey had won, there would be a tie. And you can't end Survivor Series in a tie. It wouldn't have been a three-way tie, but NXT and SmackDown would have tied. So what do? You have to have a tie-break match. You got to have somebody throw in somebody from NXT against somebody from SmackDown. Well, they got to be doing something if they wind up giving the win to Bailey. Surprise return of Ronda Rousey?
No,
I think she's finished filming 911, so. But Ronda was on Raw.
Mm. She wasn't drafted, so she's free agent.
Yeah.
Yep. So there is that. Right? So she. I don't
see that because you just feed her to Ronda, and this is what you've been doing. You've been feeding Bailey to everybody to make them look good. You're kind of sleeping on the fact that. You know, you've got the only women's Grand Slam champion there, and you're giving her no credit as a contender.
Well, you wouldn't feed Bailey to Ronda. You would, you would have to have somebody, alright, no, I suppose you could still do it. I was just thinking, okay, so Bailey's been in the match, so yeah, it'd be Ronda and somebody else. It was my thinking, but, if you wanted
No. I mean, that would be the inevitable end.
Mm-hmm.
If Ronda appeared and like I'm Team Blue, she's gonna roll through Bailey at some point, and it's not gonna end well for Bailey.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, honestly, like I wouldn't have as we were going into this, I was like a tie would actually make sense here to both boost NXT and keep Fox happy.
Yeah.
Touche.
But. And like I say, Rock brought it up, just as the thought was starting to form in my head before I could actually crystallize it. Not just the end of the match with, Shayna winning. Post-match, Shayna's celebrating, Becky comes back to life and decimates her. Really fun end, but hey. You said Dark Horse a little while ago. Not the Dark Horse. The Horsewomen angle
is
finally I think that the beatdown tonight was the genesis of the horsewomen angle. And I think Rock, thinks of that as well, because he's the one who said it first. Mr. Producer, are you around? Because I wouldn't mind if you chimed in on this one for your take. As we wait, because he's busy playing Fortnite with himself. Oh, well. Anyway. Omega, what do you think of that theory?
I mean, they've been wanting it for a long time.
We've been wanting it for a little while.
All of Rhonda's girls have, you know, at least a year of training in them.
Yep.
I would argue they might still not be ready to hold up to the four horsewomen of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Baby steps.
Like I said, this could be the precursor, and you know, when WWE does a major angle like this, they don't mind taking 6 months to a year. This could all lead into Survivor Series 2020.
Yeah, right? It could.
So.
Now, do you do that, or do you fast track it to WrestleMania because Ronda's involved, and everyone's healthy?
Well, either WrestleMania or potentially hold off till SummerSlam. But definitely, I would pull that trigger before the end of August 2020 for sure. One way or the other. I don't want to fast track it too much.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania is coming up quicker than you believe. I mean, wow, it's already the end of November. And we just watched WrestleMania last week. That's what it seems like. So. But, listen, if this is the genesis of the horsewoman angle, I think that, I could start being, anticipatory. If it's, you know, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
It could be.
No.
I mean, it's been rumbling for a long time, so.
Yeah.
Definitely possible.
It's been teased since before WrestleMania this year, so. But that's Survivor Series, guys.
Mm.
Wow. Most impressive indeed. Do you remember what your choice was, Mike, last week for potential match of the night?
I want to say the triple threat match.
Well, gee.
Every match was a triple threat match.
There were a few matches on the card that weren't. Do you remember which one you picked last week?
Roddy, AJ, Shinsuke.
Okay. Omega, do you remember which one you picked?
I picked the same because they hadn't announced the NXT Championship match yet.
It looked good on paper. Yeah, that was a curveball.
I think, if I remember correctly, I picked the women's triple threat, the women title holder triple threat match as my potential MOTM, which, yeah, it kind of came close. But after tonight, Omega?
Uh-huh.
Update your match of the night for Survivor Series 2019.
Oh, Adam Cole and Pete Dunne.
There you go. Mike?
I think we're all in agreements here.
Yeah, we're not going to say anything different than Adam Cole, Pete Dunne. That was the best match on the fucking card. Absolutely. As music is playing in the background, before we do our plugs for the night and say goodnight, it is the results time for Survivor Series Pick'em. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Okay, starting from the bottom and working all the way up, tied in ninth spot, we have the 8-ball. Intern, Matt S. and Tommy C. all went 3-5. Heartbreak Mike, you're all alone in 8th spot. You went 4-3.
Jesus Christ.
Tied for 5th place, Chris P., Rock, and Subway, all breaking 500, going 4 right, 4 wrong. Two-way tie, 3rd place, Kyle Morey and Lindsay, both 5-3. Kyle Morey, a friend of mine here in Calgary, used to wrestle for me. And, of course, Linz is Lindsay Ward, the multi-time, multi-award winning host of the Rack Radio Show, which will not be live this Thursday. We'll explain why in the Plex. There's a two-way tie for first place, Omega.
Is there?
Yeah. Do you recall hearing your name mentioned yet?
No, I didn't hear my name.
Did you hear my name mentioned yet?
I don't think I did.
That's because you and I are the smartest men alive. We tied Survivor Series Pick'em tonight. We went perfect 7-0, my friend.
Yay for us.
Hey, we're awesome. That's all we are. See, this is a case of you and I getting into each other's heads again, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I just said. Of course, there are a couple of names missing on the pick'em for this week, which is too bad. But maybe they'll be back for the next pay-per-view, which I think that's the Royal Rumble, the next one.
Next one's TLC.
Oh, TLC, then Rumble. Okay, so... Fair enough. Yep. Anyway, so that's the picking results. And now it's time to say goodnight to all our family. M-I-C-K-E-Y. Anyway, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw post show.
It is 11 p.m. Eastern. Tune in, listen, enjoy.
There you go. Normally on Thursday nights, it's, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock Radio Show, but you Americans are going to become very comatose with the overabundance of turkey on your platters.
Yeah, but that won't stop us. The Rack's...
You're not going live, are you?
No, let me plug the show. It's the Rack's Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular, available Thursday morning.
There you go. Yeah, and it'll be available on Spotify about an hour after it's posted.
So yeah, we'll review Survivor Series and catch up on the news we didn't get to this week because we had two events to cover. You can also check out the Rack Extra Reviews NXT TakeOver War Games now available on Spotify.
There we go. Yeah, there. Hey, very well done. All right, Saturday night's midnight this year, as close as they get to another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual, the group of guys that pretended to be aliens and they actually abducted Richard Dreyfuss, CB Radio.
It's a decade plus... 2 Saturday night, midnight-ish, CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, if there's enough stuff to talk about, we'll be live at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern with another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Follow WTR Sunday Night on the Twitters at WTR Sunday Night. Wild Talk Radio can be found on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Check out our Facebook pages, Rock.
Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/Group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WTRSundayNight.
I threw that to you because you talk too fast. Follow me on Twitter, not once, but twice, because it's so nice. You can follow me and my sports talk and my bad jokes and just, you know, normal whatever musings at Flames Forums. If you want to get my serious side and see how political I can be and potentially offensive, follow me at Voicing Insanity. That being said, I got a question for you, Omega.
Yeah.
Have you heard of somebody named Jan Harden?
Not offhand.
Mike, have you heard of Jan Harden?
Negative.
Okay. Rock, I already know that you haven't heard of Jan Harden until I told you about her today, right? Anyway,
yes,
Canadian singer out of the city of Calgary who had one charted hit in her entire career from 1994 until today, and the song's called Insensitive, and it was actually, she optioned the song. It was written by a waitress here in the city of Calgary who had a one-night stand with a chef and got really heartbroken because it didn't become a relationship. Or anything like that. It was just like a one night stand. So she wrote this whole thing, and this woman Jan Harden made a whole entire career out of this one song. The very definition of one hit wonder. On my Twitter account, Voicing Sanity, I called her a one hit wonder, and she got up and replied to my tweet, which I thought was funny. He says it was one huge motherfucking hit. Yeah, it charted at number 11 for 3 weeks on the Billboard in the United States. So that was huge. Yeah, right. And it was there for 3 whole weeks. After she said that, she blocked me. So my latest claim to fame is I was just recently blocked on Twitter by a very, very minor Canadian celebrity.
Put that in your Twitter profile, because, yeah.
Yeah, blocked by Jan Arden and William Shatner. So, there it is. Anyway, so follow me on the Twitters and find out what kind of trouble I get my ass into. Omega, do you get in trouble on social media?
Only if I try. I mean, I don't try to, so no. But if you want to see if I try or not, then you can follow me in a whole bunch of places, usually under the same name. But if you want to follow me on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can catch me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with a whole lot of content. And then for a little bit more content, I have a website called TJOmega.net.
Yeah.
Why do they call you the WT Oreo? Where did you get that name, and what does it mean?
Well, the WTR Oreo means I am your WTR black guy Oreo guy. But that is my Twitter handle on the Twitter page. You can hit me up on Twitter, the WTR Oreo. Hit me up on the Twitch, Stu Heyman. Crap. I feel like I'm going to have to do some Minecraft. I'm going to break down and probably buy it. Maybe not. And WWE Simulator. That's it. Yep. Back to you guys.
There, you realize it was, you've been known as the WT Oreo since what, 2008, 2009?
Fuck, has it been 10 years already?
10 or 11 years.
It's been 10 years.
Dubbed you the WTR's Oreo. And I was picking on you when I did that.
Mm.
Good naturedly, I was teasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm going to explain why I called you the Oreo, but it was kind of mean at the time. But it was not done with any maliciousness. It was all done in good humor, and I'm really happy you didn't take offense to it and block me on Twitter.
He didn't have Twitter then. How could he block you? He would have blocked
you
on MySpace.
Waited until we got Twitter. And then
he would have taken you
so
off.
Block
Tim. He would have taken you off his top 8 on MySpace.
Oh, there you go. MySpace. What the fuck's MySpace?
Wow.
That's how old it was. Wrap up your show, Tim.
There you go. So that's it, everybody. I hope you all have yourselves a great week. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Those of you listening to the archives, the podcast all over the place, on the, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and, of course, Spotify. Are there any other platforms that we podcast?
That's where all you guys are on. So go follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTI. Say goodnight, Tim.
Thanks for paying attention. You Americans have yourselves a great, happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. Maybe catch you next Sunday. Take care. Have a great week.
WildTalkRadio.com.